I'm very excited to meet our next guest. He is a veteran of higher education who grew up in Lee, Massachusetts. He's the new president of MCLA, the Massachusetts College of Liberal Arts. Dr. Jamie Burge was named in December to be the college's 12th president. He's now into his first full academic year. He's worked in higher education for more than 30 years, spent much of his early career in student affairs area, followed by work with faculty and staff to integrate community-based learning into academic course objectives. He served as the fourth president of Franklin Pierce University in New Hampshire from 2009 to 2015, and he served as the executive vice president and interim president at Wheeling Jesuit University in Wheeling, West Virginia. It's a great pleasure to welcome Dr. Jamie Burge to the roundtable this morning. How are you, sir?
I'm just fine. Thank you very much.
Well, how's it going?
Oh, it's great. It's a wonderful institution. We've had a great start to the new year, so everything's going very well.
What is it like for an academic like yourself to come into a situation, especially one where I'm sure you've heard this a million times, but you know, everybody loved Mary Grant.
Indeed.
So who is who you replace? So that's not always the case. Sometimes, you know, there can be turmoil or whatever, but you are replacing someone who is much loved, I assume, on campus and off campus. So you walk in, and I assume people are lovely and welcoming, but what has that process been like for you?
Well, it's been great. You know, in fact, people do think very highly of Mary, and rightly so. Mary had a great tenure at MCLA. She has a wonderful legacy, as you know. Probably
yes.
She built or renovated two wonderful academic centers. In fact, I think they're the nicest academic facilities I've seen in my career. And so she's done a lot to affect the quality of education at MCLA and the relationships that we've had with people.
So you come in with a vision, though. You come in with what you want to accomplish in your tenure there. So talk to us a little bit about some of the programs that you want to put in place and to put your stamp on MCLA.
Yeah, certainly. I think that, you know, the real quality of the institution are our faculty and the staff that are there. And so they've been wonderful about sharing with me the information that they have, their experiences at MCLA. And that's really helped to shape the vision. So the vision is less mine as much as it is our vision. But I think going back to my previous comment, Mary did a great job of establishing these wonderful teaching and learning environments. And they give us an opportunity to think differently about curriculum development. So right now we're looking at a core curriculum revision. A group of faculty are looking at how that reflects and does it reflect the liberal arts education and tradition that we offer. Are there other academic programs? Absolutely. When we think about programs that are in demand, especially in the sciences because of the Feigenbaum Center for Science and mm-hmm. Innovation. So we'll look at expanding programs there as well. But we have a really, really great foundation of curriculum, and I'm excited about the things that we'll be doing in the near future.
I assume the answer is obviously both, but I'm interested in you of course want to get the students ready for the world at large, prepare them, get them ready for the world. But I also assume that you are also trying to get them ready for jobs that are available in the region and working. And do you work with local employers to kind of get that ball rolling as to how you can really make a good match there.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I, without going into a deep, long history of 375 years of American higher education, suffice it to say that the foundation...
Go for it.
Neither of us have that much time. But the foundation of American higher education is rooted in the purpose of responding to the needs and demands of society. And so shortly after I arrived, I started meeting with the employers in the region to talk about what it was that they needed from our graduates so that, in fact, we could retain them as talent. Some of the programs that we're developing are a direct response to what I heard from those leaders in the community as to what kind of employees they need.
Some of the new programs being what?
Well, for example, health sciences. I think we'll be looking at how do we develop an undergraduate curriculum program so that students can think about health professions careers. We certainly have that need in the Berkshires. We're looking at some leadership development opportunities. Whatever industry I've talked to, they've all expressed concerns about the next level or next generation of leaders and do they have the skills and the characteristics to step into executive roles at those places. So we'll look at those kinds of things. General Dynamics is a big employer in the region, and so they have a real need for employees, and so we're looking at how do we develop new computer science and software engineering programs for them.
You're also working quite a bit on diversity. I know you've received a major grant to work on this issue. Tell us a little bit about that and how ultimately it unfolds.
Sure. We're really excited about it. The U.S. Department of Education, just before classes began, notified us that we've been awarded roughly a $2.2 million grant called the Strengthening Institutions Grant to build on increasing retention and graduation rates for students of color and students from low-income families. Now, as it turns out, we're doing a really good job with that. In fact, our retention rate this year overall increased 4 percentage points. In fact, it's the highest we've ever had. 78.8% of last year's freshmen have returned for this year.
Great.
So we're really excited about that. But this grant will allow us to do things, especially to focus on students of color and students from low-income families, on helping them get access and retain so that they graduate on time with a good, strong liberal arts degree.
And what are the challenges without this? I mean, obviously, you have some money to put into this. Without it, what are the challenges in achieving that goal?
Sure. Well, I think the real challenges are that even though we're a public institution with a mission of access or affordability, it's still costly for students. About a third of our students come from families earning less than $30,000 a year. And so a fairly significant population of our students struggle financially or their families struggle. So we're always working hard to make sure that we remain accessible and affordable for them. So we raise a lot of money for scholarships that we can get students to come to campus, that they don't have to have a large debt load when they leave. So that's all the more reason for us to make sure we focus on retention and graduation rates so that when those students leave, they're leaving with a degree in hand and not just debt.
The degree in hand that most students are leaving with is what? The top percentage?
Yeah, sure. Our students, our popular programs are psychology, business, certainly big, education. Historically, we've been a state teachers institution.
Yes.
And so those are our biggest programs. I think very quickly we're seeing a change in the science fields. More students, because of the Feigenbaum Center, this new science facility that we have, more students are enrolling in our science program. So I think they will very quickly become our largest academic programs.
They all want to be in the new building.
I'm sorry?
They all want to be in the new building.
We all want to be in that. It is a great teaching
building.
Learning space.
Well, and the president's office is right. You can see it, right, from here? Can't you see it from
here? I
office?
Look out every day at
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's
and,
very nice.
Yeah, it's a beautiful facility, and it's great. You know, it's got great teaching space, great space for students to do their own research, and we have a big
sure.
research program for students. So it's really a phenomenal spot.
Tell us a little bit about. I know we're going to have Cokie Roberts on the show in a couple of days, and she's going to be one of your speakers. I think she speaks like 2 days after Election Day, so
November 3rd before Election.
Oh, it
Day,
is. It's before
is
Election
exciting.
Day. Well,
yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, right.
That's awesome. So, and you have some wonderful speakers. So, how does that come to be? And tell us a little bit about who will be on campus.
Yeah, great. Thanks. So, we actually have three really outstanding speakers coming in this fall, and what's nice about that is that they're all part of sponsored lecture series that we have. So the Hardman Lecture Series will be bringing in Abderrahim Fukara, who's Al Jazeera's Washington, D.C. bureau chief. He'll be on campus this month, in fact, October 13th, to talk about how media portrays Islam. So we're really excited about having him on campus. Cokie Roberts will be here on November 3rd as a result of our Dukakis lecture series, mm-hmm. the public policy lecture. And so she'll be here November 3rd at 7 o'clock. And then the Elizabeth and Lawrence Vadnais Environmental Issues lecture is from an old colleague of mine, John Harris, who will be talking about Returning North with the Spring, a book that he wrote when he followed spring from south to north on a sabbatical that he took. And that will be on November 17th. So really three wonderful, very different lectures. That's one of the benefits of a liberal arts education is that we bring in a diverse population of speakers to talk to our students and my colleagues, as well as the general public. They're all open to the public and they're free.
Okay, so now for the really hard-hitting question. Tell me about the bow ties. So you... This is why we win journalism awards, Jamie.
Right, I understand.
You're wearing a lovely bow tie today. I know that's your signature. Tell us a little bit about how that came to be.
Yeah, you know, after I finished my PhD, I started wearing bow ties, and I started thinking about what a PhD takes to earn, and so it's about commitment, it's about struggling, and it's about courage sometimes. all of the things that are characteristic to bow ties. Sometimes it's a struggle to tie them. Sometimes you have to be courageous to wear them because they are a little different, quirky, and curious. So I just started wearing them and have been wearing them since the early 2000s. So we've had some fun with it on campus. Students are wearing bow ties periodically, and there was a bow tie challenge this summer on Twitter where various people were taking different pictures of themselves in bow ties around campus. So it's been a fun little exercise.
Do you know how many you have?
I have no idea.
Okay, but quite a few.
Quite a few.
All right, you got to count. Send an intern over. Let them count your ties.
You know what? I'm actually, they wear out. They get a little shredded. I save them all because someday I'll do something, a quilt or a blanket or something
for
my grandkids
with them.
Or something.
Sure. And as long as I don't wear them often, but my father did teach me how to tie one. But as much as you do it, you can still screw it up.
Easily.
Yes. Because sometimes they're a little bit longer. Yeah.
Right.
Well, it looks great on you.
Thank you very much.
Very nice. You can find out more about all of the cool stuff that we talked to Dr. Burge about this morning by going to their website. It's mcla.edu. That'll be the fall speaker series as well as the many programs that we discussed as well. mcla.edu. Dr. Jamie Burge, what a great pleasure to meet you. I thank you so much for the great work you're doing in the community. We welcome you and we thank you and we look forward to a great partnership moving forward. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.